Please take a seat, and as you do that, if you could grab one of those Bibles, one of those new, brand new Bibles, you might be the first person to open it, and turn with it to page 491. That should just be on the underneath the seats in front of you, or on the seats behind. We continue our series in Nehemiah. We've been looking as we've gone through Nehemiah that Nehemiah was given this task to rebuild the walls, and that's now been done. And now in these chapters ahead of us, we look to the renewing of God's people. So Nehemiah chapter 8, I'm beginning to read at verse 1 on page 491. And when the seventh month came, and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gates. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak until noon, as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood Mathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. And on his left were Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashem, Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshullam. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Now the Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shebathai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Peliah, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra the priest and the teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Then the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. On the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered round Ezra, the teacher of the law, to give attention to the words of the law. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in temporary shelters during the festival of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns and in Jerusalem. "Go out into the hill country and bring back branches from olive and wild olive trees and from myrtles, palms, and other leafy trees to make temporary shelters, as it is written." So the people went out and they brought back branches and built themselves temporary shelters on their own roofs, in their courtyards, in the courts of the house of God, and in the square by the water gates, and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company that had returned from exile built temporary shelters and lived in them. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. They celebrated the festival for 7 days, and on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. I'm going to invite David to come and preach for us. David, thank you.
Your Bibles are still open at page 491, Nehemiah chapter 8. I want to pray. Father, we thank you for the preciousness of your holy word, and we pray that you will wing that word to each of our hearts as we seek to draw near to you and be useful in your service. For the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Two little old ladies were leaving church one Sunday, and one said, "My, that preacher preaches for a long time." Her friend said, "No, he doesn't really preach a long time. It just seems like it." I'll be listening for various comments as we linger for coffee and tea afterwards. And I wonder what those ladies would have thought about the service that took about 6 hours, Bible reading and preaching, during which the people stood for the whole time. The people had told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the law, the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. And verse 2 tells us that on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, made up of men and women, and all who were able to understand. And he read it aloud from daybreak until noon. Not only that, but the next day they came back for more. In these past weeks, we have found how Nehemiah had been in the forefront. He was a gifted administrator who had the ability to organize and mobilize people to get the wall built. But when it came time to teach the word, he took a back seat, and Ezra came to the fore. He was skilled in the law of Moses, and he had set his heart on studying the word, putting what he had read into practice and teaching it. In the book of Ezra, which comes immediately before that of Nehemiah, in chapter 7 and verse 19, we read that Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord, and for teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 and following, we read, "Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for work of service, so that the body of Christ, the church, may be built up until we all reach maturity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." All these ministries to which the Lord calls are complementary, supporting each other. The situation we read about in Nehemiah 8 was certainly a revival or a time of spiritual renewal. And at the center of this renewal was the exposition of Scripture, when what had been read was explained. Down through the centuries, God's people have gone through times when his word has been neglected, and as a result, the spiritual health of his people has deteriorated. But God, in his grace and mercy, has sent renewal. Inevitably, one of the main marks of such renewal is a renewed emphasis on his holy word. And we see this in the Old Testament, when Judah languished under the godless reigns of King Manasseh and his son Amon, who was 22 when he came to the throne, and he reigned for 2 short years. Amon's son Josiah then became king when he was 8 years old, and he reigned for 31 years. And it was when he was 16, he began to seek the Lord and bring in spiritual reforms. Following on from those reforms, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. And Josiah the king called the people to repentance. Revival followed because God's word was received and obeyed. The same thing happened in the time of the Reformation, which at its heart was a revival of God's word. The Roman Catholic Church had neglected the word. Priests were the only ones with access to it, and many were ignorant of its contents. Two heroes of the Reformation, John Wycliffe and William Tyndale, labored to get the Bible translated into common English, whilst Martin Luther translated the Bible into German. And John Calvin began to preach expository sermons, encouraging those listening to apply what they were hearing to their contemporary situations. Last Sunday, we marked Bible Sunday when we thanked the Lord for the gift of his word. Sadly, the Bible seems to have lost its importance in our society in Britain today. But in other parts of the world, there's a real desire for people to get hold of their Bible in their own hands. And there's a tremendous need for pastors and Bible teachers to explain it, to teach and to preach, so the people listening can be taught how to relate it to their contemporary situations. In the verses before us in Nehemiah 8, we see 4 marks of spiritual renewal related to God's word. And the first thing we know, for spiritual renewal, God's people need to read his word. The first 8 verses of chapter 8 record an account of a solemn assembly. And notice when it took place. On the first day of the 7th month. Way back in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 23, the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the first day of the 7th month, you are to have a day of Sabbath rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do not do any of your ordinary work, but present a food offering to the Lord." And so on this day, the Israelites assembled, and they told Ezra to bring out the book of the law, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. And this marathon reading of the scriptures by Ezra was coupled with explanations from 13 Levites over that period of 6 hours. The powerful explanation of what had been read brought forth tears from the people as they listened to the words of the law. Why were they crying? Because the law shows us the extent of our sinfulness. And we're told in verse 3 that when Ezra read the word aloud, the people listened attentively. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." The people had been weeping, which was a good sign that their hearts were tender and receptive, like that of Josiah when he heard the words of the Lord. And they wept to think of how they had offended their God. Interesting to note that the only day of the year which the Lord has specifically set aside for weeping and mourning was the Day of Atonement, which was the 10th day of the 7th month. Nehemiah, Ezra, and the Levites said to the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." And Nehemiah continued, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Notice the sudden change in emotions from verse 9, when the people had been weeping, to verse 12, when the people went away to eat and drink and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. For spiritual renewal, besides God's people reading his word, they must reverently hear his word expounded. Verse 13 tells us that the day following all the celebrations, the second day of the month, key people, like the heads of all the families, along with the priests and Levites, gathered round Ezra, the teacher of the law, for further instruction in the words of the law, especially concerning the proper observance of the Feast of Tabernacles. This Feast of Tabernacles the Jews had celebrated for a long time, but they now realized a more careful study of Leviticus 23, that all that are Israelites born shall dwell in temporary shelters during the festival. And from the days of Joshua, Moses' successor, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated like that, and their joy was very great. And for the 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, Ezra read from the book of the law. Rowland Hill was an 18th century English preacher, greatly used by God. And shortly before he died, he was visiting an old friend who told him that he could still remember the text and part of a sermon which he had heard Hill preach 65 years before. Hill asked him what he remembered. He said that Hill had said that some people, when listening to a sermon, didn't like the delivery of the preacher. Then he said, "Supposing you went to hear the will of one of your relatives read, and you were expecting a legacy from him, you would hardly think of criticizing the manner in which the lawyer read the will. Rather, you would be all attentive to hear whether anything had been left to you, and more to the point, how much." This is the way to hear the gospel preached. We've seen for spiritual renewal, not only must God's people read his word, have the word expounded, but the word must be taught. Much of the Bible is plain to anyone who can read. As Mark Twain is reputed to have said, it wasn't the sections of the Bible that he couldn't understand that bothered him. It was the parts that he could understand that troubled him. And there are some sections of Scripture that are difficult to grasp. So God, in his mercy, has given gifted people to teach his word and for them to work on commentaries of the various books of the Scriptures. To properly apply the Bible, we must properly interpret it. And to properly interpret it, we must understand what the author meant for the people to whom he was writing in the context of that day. Sound Bible teaching must be clear. Some texts are difficult to understand. Even Peter says that about some of Paul's writings in 2 Peter 3. He says that Paul's letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, for their own destruction. And fourthly and briefly, for spiritual renewal, God's people must respond to his word. It's spiritually dangerous to study the word without the goal of obedient response. Knowledge apart from obedience leads to pride. And our aim, as John Calvin puts it, should always be to transform our lives by Scripture and the activity of God's Holy Spirit, taking those words of Scripture and applying them in our lives. As we read in Nehemiah 8, the people wept when they heard and understood God's word, because they realized the extent of their sinfulness against the Lord. And the more God's word shines into our hearts, the more we will see areas which do not conform to his righteousness. Spiritual renewal always involves repentance. And secondly, joy. In verse 10, Nehemiah tells the people to go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send them to those who have nothing prepared. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Knowing that he has forgiven all our sins through the victory of the Lord Jesus on the cross, and that we are his people, should fill our hearts with joy. And repentance and joy should flow on to good deeds. Ezra and Nehemiah reminded the people to send portions from the part of the sacrifice that they could eat to those who had nothing. And God's word in our hearts should produce compassion for the needy. We see this demonstrated in Christian organizations who encourage us to respond to cries for help from those countries in the world often devastated by climate difficulties. And a fourth response is obedience. The people in the reading heard that the law, that they should observe the festival of shelters. It was almost imminent, just a few days away, but they made immediate preparations for it. And the last response is worship. The festival of shelters lasted a whole week, and every day consisted of more reading of God's word, culminating in a solemn assembly on the final day. There was great rejoicing along with reverential attention to God's word. And as the people camped in temporary shelters, they reflected on God's faithful dealings with the nation in spite of their sins. And so they were filled with gratitude and love towards God for his dealings with them. The reading, study, and preaching of God's word should prepare in each one of us hearts prepared and ready for worship as we reflect on God's abundant mercies to us through our Lord Jesus. And that's why it's important that we have this day set apart to gather with like-minded people, and some may be seeking after relevance to their lives, and we meet together, our focus of worship being that of the Lord Jesus and all he has done for us, and encouraging each other in our ongoing Christian pilgrimage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this chapter of Nehemiah and for all the teaching of your word that went on and the joyful responses of your people. Help us in this day similarly to rejoice, to be thankful, and to commit ourselves to ongoing witness and service, so that your name may be glorified and your kingdom of love extended, for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.